Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Hormerez and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up in various areas around town for coffee, tea, and conversation of eternal importance. Join us, won't you, for Bible Talk.
Welcome to Bible Talk as we gather around the table, meeting once again at a local cafe. You can hear some noise in the background, talking about our favorite subject, God's Word, the Bible. And it's so nice having you all join us. Hi, this is Rich Hormerez.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. We're so happy to be here and to have you listening to our conversation with Pastor Joe as we're continuing our look at Psalm 51, which has been described as a cry of confession, repentance, and a plea for forgiveness to God by King David, a believer who had sinned. This is something that we can all relate to and we can all learn from, so it's an important, important passage. Now, as I said, we're here with Pastor Joe. Hi, Pastor Joe.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Rich. Good to be with you.
Thank you. You too. And we're so happy you're here to just give us some insight as to these important passages.
Now, if you've missed any segment of this series on Psalm 51, or would like to listen again, or invite someone else to listen, you can. Just go to firstloveradio.org. Perhaps you're there already. And scroll down to the Bible Talk picture, tap on it, and it will take you to all of our programs. That's firstloveradio.org. Now, we've come down to verse 12 that says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit."
Now, Pastor Joe, the name of this ministry is First Love, and we're told here to ask God to restore the joy of our salvation. Isn't that essentially what the Bible is describing when it indicates that God should be our first love, that God should be our first joy as he gives us salvation?
Yes, indeed. It's an example that David had lost his first love because he had sinned with Bathsheba. He had committed murder, and it did not mean that David lost his salvation, but he lost the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in his walk with God, in his relationship with God, and in his service to God. And this psalm is, by way of reminder, one of the six penitential psalms where the psalmist brings out his sorrow for sin and his repentance. And David's sins, if you look at the context, had affected his whole person, his whole inner man. It says it affected his eyes in verse 3, where we read, "My sin is always before me." With his spiritual eyes, the eyes of his understanding, his sin had convicted him. It had stayed with him because he had not confessed and repented of his sin. So it affected his spiritual eyes. In verse 6, it affected his mind. It says there, "You desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom." The hidden parts he's talking about is the spiritual mind here, the awareness and consciousness of truth, of sin, and everything that dominates the inner man from the spiritual perspective that he was conscious of. So his sin had weakened his inner man, weakened the mind of Christ in him, had weakened so much truth in him that he forgot so many important, weighty spiritual and doctrinal truths. And the book of Hebrews chapter 5 tells us that when we don't walk closely with God, we forget these very essential truths. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And then we read also that sin had affected David's ears and his bones in verse 8. "Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice." The bones represent the very center and core part of our spiritual being. In the book of Hebrews, it says that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of joints and marrow. Talks about marrow. The marrow is the center of the bones, and the bones are the center of your physical body. So the marrow is the very core of who you are. That's what this refers to when David talks about the bones that you have broken may rejoice. In restoring David to the place of fellowship with God, God had to reach down to the very marrow of his spiritual man and break him and grant him repentance, grant him conviction of sin. So we read that David's bones, as it were broken. That is, his spiritual man had to be brought back to God to a place of repentance. And then it talks about in verse 10, which we looked at in the last couple of studies, his heart and spirit. Create in me a clean heart, O God, it says in verse 10, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Again, the heart is a metaphor, not the physical heart, but the spiritual heart is a metaphor, like the marrow, of the center of our spiritual being. And so David is talking about the fact that God had to recreate and renew a clean inner man from the very center of his affections, his heart, outward, and renew a steadfast spirit within him. So that's the background of where we've been so far. And what David is experiencing is not unusual. It's not rare. It's what we all experience as believers as we regularly repent of sin that build up upon us in our daily life.
Yes, and like you mentioned, we can feel so guilty when we've done something wrong that we're afraid to face God and feel like we have to get back to following him closely, but also to feeling that kind of first love for him. But here David asks God to bring us back our joy, our love, and our appreciation for him, and our willingness to do his will. Do you mean that we don't have to come up with this ourselves? We don't have to get to that place? Can God change our hearts and emotions?
Well, without the Holy Spirit's ministry and power changing us, renewing within us and reviving within our hearts the presence of God and providing fresh grace and strength to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. No, we can't. We can't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We do not have the spiritual strength to do this. Repentance is a gift of God. Try to repent in the flesh with superficial confession and see how long that lasts in your relationship with God. It doesn't last very quickly. True repentance is a purging of the entirety of our spiritual man from the desire and the lust of sin. And so David on his own, in his own strength, or for that matter, you and I, in our own strength, could not provide a repentance and a change of mind that would last for very long if we tried to produce that in our own strength. So he needed the help and assistance of the Holy Spirit, just like we all do as Christians.
Right, and it would be the Holy Spirit then, when we get to that place, that would restore our joy. Isn't that right? Like, we don't have to manufacture it. We don't have to be guilty if we don't have it. If our heart's in the right place, God will restore our joy. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, joy is the result of a complete repentance. So when we look at Psalm 51 in the context, especially verse 12, where David says, "Return to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by a generous spirit," we're looking at someone who is representative of all believers, who's returning to God in repentance from a temporary period of time in lukewarmness or in spiritual mediocrity, playing around with sin. David knew that without repentance, there would be no cleansing, there would be no joy, there would be no happiness in his relationship with God. Try to serve both the world and God, or both sin and God, and you won't be happy. God requires everything. He requires our all. And so therefore, he says in Proverbs, "My son, give me your heart." If we've been dabbling with sin, God has to go down to the very core of our being, to the very center of our heart, and restore love and dedication and consecration to the entirety of God's will. He needs us to surrender and yield our whole man, our new man, to him afresh. David knew this, and he wanted his entire being to be restored so he could serve God acceptably. God doesn't allow for us to give him half or 75%, not even 99.9%. God wants our all. So David asked the Lord to create a new heart within him, when we look at the context, to give him a steadfast spirit that would not vacillate. Superficial and shallow repentance would cause us to vacillate and fluctuate in our determination, in our convictions to stay away from sin. When the Holy Spirit restores love for God and dedication to him, it would be very hard soon thereafter to fall back into the same cycle of sin. But verse 10, which we've already considered, is the central verse of the psalm, and it expresses the heart of David's concern here. David knew that the inner person, the heart, was the source of his trouble, as well as the seat of his joy and God's blessing upon him. He was incapable of changing his own heart. Only God could do the miracle of renewing him in the spirit. So when he says, "Return to me the joy of your salvation," he's saying, look, based on what I've said up to this point in Psalm 51, up to verse 12, believing all this to be true, Lord, put back into my heart the joy which comes from knowing you and walking with you. Only you can do this. Only you can give me the grace, like you did when you saved me. You gave me a new heart when you saved me, when you justified me. You've got to do the same thing as a Christian, as I am being sanctified. You have to cleanse, and you've got to sift sin out of the new heart and restore a fresh determination and desire to serve you.
Now, you mentioned, Pastor Joe, joy. But when somebody sins, sometimes there is great guilt. There's remorse, but a person is still hanging with this guilt over their shoulders. And the verse says, restore in me a clean heart. Restore, restore in me. There are those that are walking that don't feel restored, and they're seeking God's forgiveness. How would you speak to them?
Well, unfortunately, the Christian life is perplexed with and besought with many snares and temporary traps that we fall into because of sin and the battle against sin and the conflict with sin. And so, therefore, when we don't repent immediately, and that is true, deep, heartfelt repentance and a return to the Lord, we can fall into a long time away from the conscious presence of fellowship with God. Could be weeks, months, even years. This ought not to be so, and we never should presumptuously trust in God's grace that we could be restored at any moment. The Bible says, "Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid." Nevertheless, the road to heaven for the believer is entangled with a lot of falls off the narrow road that leads to life. King David knew this. Some theologians believe that he had been in a place of temporary deception and blindness as a Christian, as a believer, for a couple of years. And I think that that has happened to many of us. But at the same time, true believers should take heart that the guilt that builds up over time, the lies that we've embraced from the devil when we're in a place of weakness and backsliding, we tend to believe those lies, those insinuations that we've been cast out of God's presence forever. We've lost our salvation. We can never be of any use again and return to the Lord. These are all lies. The way back to God is the same way we originally found him, and that is by faith in Jesus Christ. And exercising faith in Christ to restore us to that place. David did not ask God to save him. David asked God to restore him. He says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the joy of the Lord is that witness of God's pleasure in our relationship with Him and in our service to Him. But we don't trust in joy because joy is fleeting. It comes and it goes. We trust only in Christ.
It's just an emotion, right? And as you say, an emotion is not necessarily the truth, but it's really a human reaction. Can even be affected by so many things, like if you're sick or if you're depressed.
Yes, joy has its opposite. Everything spiritual in the Christian life, including the fruits of the Spirit, have their counterfeit. So the true joy of the Holy Spirit can be a very short-lived, temporary, fleshly infatuation, even with things of the Bible. How is it that some believers can seem like they're on a mountaintop during a worship service on Sunday, and then 5 minutes after they leave church, they fall into some horrendous sin? It means that we need to be careful what we call joy. And true joy, spiritual joy, the fruit of joy, is provided by the Holy Spirit. Now, David wanted the joy of the Lord to return to him because for a couple of years or so, he had lost the joy of the Lord. God is not going to pour out joy upon the heart of a believer that is taking delight in sin. So the work of the Holy Spirit will be diminished. We will grieve the Spirit, and the joy of the Lord will temporarily evaporate and leave us.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Now, perhaps you have a question you would like to ask. You can do just that by simply emailing us at BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. That's BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. You can also send in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to the Contact Us section on our webpage and ask your question there. And be sure when you contact us to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this contact information at the end of our program. For now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
Joy and gladness, by the way, is a Hebrew phrase that means very, very deep joy, all-encompassing joy. It fills the whole heart, the whole spiritual man. And David asked the Lord to create a new heart, a clean heart within him. He was already saved. His sins were forgiven. But David needed cleansing. Cleansing. And that's the case with all of us when we sin as Christians. We commit sins that are already forgiven, but we need cleansing to provide a steadfast spirit within us again so that we won't fluctuate and vacillate in our relationship with the Lord. And so the Bible talks about believers that though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory. So by faith, we put our trust in Christ to cleanse us. The Holy Spirit pours out a fresh, sanctifying dose of the blood of Christ from the throne of grace. And behind that cleansing blood of conscious sin, wiping it away, comes the fruit of joy. And that joy is a testament to the fact that God heard our prayer and He purified our hearts to restore the fellowship between me and God that was temporarily interrupted because of my unconfessed and unrepentant sin. And so everything in God's heart and everything that God does, including the writing of the scriptures, is intended to keep us walking with Him in joy. He says, "These things we write to you that your joy may be full." That's in 1 John 1. Jesus said in John, in the Gospels, He said, "These things I say to you that your joy may be full." So the Lord Jesus wants us to be full of joy, and His role as our high priest, our intercessor, our mediator, our advocate, means that he's always praying towards that end. He's always praying that we would be restored from a weakened place to fellowship with him, including the joy of the Lord. And then he says in verse 12, "And uphold me by your generous spirit." David didn't want his joy that was renewed and his relationship with God that was restored to be short-lived. He wanted to be upheld. He wanted to have a length of time, even the rest of his life, to go by without falling back into those traps of sin. He wanted to have a long period of uninterrupted fellowship with God before he sinned. He didn't plan on sinning, but he wanted to be upheld by God's grace. He calls it a generous spirit. And so David didn't want to lose the blessing and help of the Holy Spirit. Today, the Spirit of God abides with believers forever. In the Old Testament, there was more of the Spirit's work in giving gifts, like he anointed David and also King Saul, and it says the Spirit came on them. But in the case of Saul, it wasn't the Spirit of salvation. It was the Spirit of wisdom and courage and giftedness to do the work of a king that Saul needed. And it wasn't salvation. But today, we see that when we become saved, God's Spirit is given to us to stay with us forever. But God's children can lose effective ministry and lose the joy of the Lord by grieving the Holy Spirit, by lying to the Holy Spirit, and quenching the Holy Spirit by deliberate disobedience and sins of commission. In the Old Testament, there was no sacrifice for deliberate sin. It was sins of ignorance. So we need to be very careful with presumptuous sin, because God hates it more than anything, more than any other kind of sin. The phrase "willing spirit" in verse 12 refers to David's own spirit, as we read in verse 10, where it says, "Uphold me by a steadfast spirit within me." So David is saying, "Lord, send the Holy Spirit to uphold and to strengthen my spirit. Make my spirit willing by the power of your Holy Spirit, and then I won't fall like I did." So he's saying that he wants the ministry of the Holy Spirit to continue to renew the grace and strength of the Lord in his heart so that his spirit would be upheld.
You know, it sounds here as he asks God to uphold his spirit that he realizes his weakness as a human. And that's something that we all need to realize, that the enemy is strong in our lives, and so is just the world all around us, and we're weak. And probably when we don't acknowledge that and we think we're so strong is when we're most vulnerable, and we really do need to realize that we need God to uphold us.
So true. One of the things the enemy does is to try to create an artificial sense of self-justification, of the ability to do things that we don't have. The scripture says, "If anyone thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall." If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing as he ought to know. So anyone who believes that he has enough wisdom, enough strength, enough experience, enough knowledge of the Bible, enough natural goodness or natural gifts of persuasion to lead others to Christ, he doesn't realize that he doesn't have anything natively to do the work of God. Every good gift comes from above, including the retention of our Bible knowledge, including the remembrance of it at the time we need to remember it to share it with others. Every aspect, the ability to communicate, everything we do for God, the desires we need to have, the love of God that we need to minister to others, these are all gifts of God.
You know, going along that same line about retaining God's word, you know, God's word is a weapon, a sword that he has given to us to combat the enemy, so to speak. And the psalmist said, "Thy words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." So immersing ourselves and being into God's word, an important way that we can resist the things of the world.
Yes, actually, the psalmist in Psalm 51 says, you desire truth in the inward parts. And so God, as you said, wants us to hide his word in our heart and have it serve as insulation against the temptations and thoughts of sin. And when we insulate and galvanize our hearts and fortify our hearts with his word, it's like a layer of protection. It's like shields, you know, shields that protect us. So if we are weak in laying up and storing the word of God in our hearts and reading and meditating upon the word of God, there'll be a very thin layer or no layer at all to absorb that initial blow of temptation. So that's why it's important for us to not just read a verse or two or read a short paragraph in a daily bread. Those things are okay as a supplement. We need to read the direct word of God and as much of it as possible. Not like a speed reader, but we need to read it and meditate on it and take as much of it in as we can, because it's a sanctifier, it's a purifier, it's what helps us grow. It makes us willing. It gives us the right motives in obeying God and serving God. It's this willing spirit. The Word of God acts as a tool to recreate and renew all of the positive things that we need to serve God and to walk with Him. A willing spirit is one that is not in bondage, but is free and is willing and is enthusiastic to yield ourselves to God and to the Spirit of God. It isn't enough simply to confess sin and experience God's cleansing. We must also let Him renew us within so that we will conquer sin and not succumb quickly to temptation. The Lord did forgive David, but permitted him to suffer the tragic consequences of his sin. So that suffering, the consequences of our sin, stirs up the fear of God in us afresh, so that in adding to our repentance, we will be very, very slow or afraid to go back to that place of sin as we did before.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email, BibleTalk@firstloveradio.org. That's BibleTalk@firstloveradio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. That's P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. 94568 is the zip code. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. And be sure, whenever you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. And please remember that First Love Radio is supported solely by God's faithfulness as He inclines the hearts of friends like you to offer your support. If you would like to send us a financial gift, we'd be ever so grateful. Please make your check out to First Love Radio and mail it to First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. That's P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California, 94568. Or simply donate on our website, firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back at the same time tomorrow and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.